Good morning. Good morning. It's Sunday, the 24th of July, and you're all welcome to Ballyhenry. Welcome to those visiting, and I hope you feel very much at home among us. Welcome to those joining by Zoom, and welcome to those joining or listening by CD and online. I want to thank the Reverend Ronnie Hetherington for leading our morning worship over the past two Sundays while Niall has been on holiday. I want to welcome our pastoral assistant, the Reverend Johnson Lamb, who will be leading us in worship this morning. And now Nolene has an announcement she wants to make. Thank you.
Even saying my name struck fear to him. He couldn't even get it out right. This is Emily, by the way, the prettiest granddaughter in the world, just in case you wonder. A couple of wee things. Posters, still needing some posters put up. If you're able to put one up in Richmond, Antrim Road, anywhere, Tesco's anywhere, please come and get one off me and we can get them up. Thank you for your continued help for the food bank. I've been asked to say that if anyone is able to provide tins of meat, so it's like tunas, pastas and tins, so tuna, salmon, cooked meat, tins of curry, any of those sort of things, they'd be very gratefully appreciated. And I'll lift them for the next couple of weeks if you're able to help out. Thank you.
Nothing like being straight to the point. And if you can help, I'm sure it'd be much appreciated. It's lovely to see everyone with you, with us this morning. If I can just about see past the lights, I can actually see some faces. But we're here to worship God and to know his presence and to afford to him all the glory and all the honor. We're going to begin our service as we sing the praise, Power in the Blood.
To be free from the burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you our evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Whiter than snow, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
needed was tambourines to add to that. Because every time I sing that song, I think of the Salvation Army and the girls with their timbrels and their ribbons, that we can come together and praise God. But let's join together in prayer. Let's all pray. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we again thank you this morning for this opportunity of coming together into your presence to worship and to praise your name. We thank you that our opening hymn has reminded us of the fact that there is power in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And it's only because of his shed blood, only because of his perfect sacrifice, that we are privileged this morning to come before the very throne of heaven and to declare you as our God and our loving Heavenly Father, because Jesus is our Savior. We thank you that as we trust in him, we're granted the joy of sins forgiven, and we're given that wonderful peace with God that passeth all understanding. We pray, loving Father, this morning, as we meet together in this place, that we will indeed worship you from a full heart, that we will be able again just to declare you as the mighty God who holds all things in his hand, declare you as the faithful God who watches over and cares for his people, and that you are indeed the God who goes before us, preparing the way, the God who walks with us, affording us strength, and the God who comes behind to protect and to bless. Loving Father, take of our thanksgiving this morning. Enable us afresh just to acknowledge you as the Holy One, worthy of all our praise and our adoration. And thank you again for your Son, the Lord Jesus. And as we trust in him, knowing that our sins forgiven, we thank you again for your Holy Spirit, given to us as our comforter and our guide, someone who lightens our way and indeed directs us as we journey with you. Be with us this morning. Bless us as we come confessing our sin, seeking again your forgiveness and your cleansing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to see boys and girls in church. Boys and girls, you put up your hand so I can see where you are, because you're tucked in and all around. Come on, put your hands up in the air. Don't be shy. Great. It's good to see you with us this morning. Are you having a good summer? Yes. Are you counting down the days to go back to school? Mums and dad, are you counting down the days that we all go back to school? Possibly, possibly. Have we still some holidays to take? Are we heading away anywhere soon? Yeah, one or two. Now, can anybody tell me, question, can anybody tell me what's going to happen on the 28th of July? Does anybody know what's happening on the 28th of July? Nobody know? Robbie, would you like to put a picture up for us, if it'll come up? Anybody idea what this is? Yes? Sorry? It's a picture of the world, yes, but anybody any idea what that flag is about? What's happening the 28th? Shout it out, I can't hear. The Commonwealth Games is starting on, now Jean, I thought you would have known that. On the 28th of July to the 8th of August, the Commonwealth Games. Does anybody know what the Commonwealth is? No? It's all of the countries come together that once were part of the British Empire and now are friendly nations with the United Kingdom. And on the 28th of July, there will be 72 countries taking part in the games. There will be 4,600 participants. There will be 280 different medal events. And there will be 15 venues around Birmingham that will host these particular events. And it's a special time for those who are sportsmen and women. And they've probably been working at them for years. Anybody enjoy sports? Does anybody enjoy sports? Can you think of some of the games they might be playing, or the sports they might be taking part in during those 2 weeks of games? Can anybody think of some of them? There's bowls, yes. There's what? Hockey, yes. Anything else? There's cycling. Yeah, what time, Brian? Come on ahead. You have to say something now. You're in the corner. You'd be perfect in that. There's bowls, there's boxing, there's volleyball, there's basketball, there's badminton, there's all sorts of athletics, and there's gymnastics, and there's a new sport this time around for the first, and it's wheelchair basketball, or basketball 3x3, and it's quite competitive. So there's lots of sports. But one of the things about about the Commonwealth Games is that they are known as the friendly games. Oh yes, there's lots of competition, but they're known as the friendly games when all of the nations within the Commonwealth come together to compete and to enjoy each other's company. You know, when I was thinking about it, and you listen to that advertisement for them, talking about coming to Brum for the games, I couldn't help but think about what the Bible says about all of God's people coming together. We're met this morning in church, and it's good that we're here in church because we're here as a church family. But you know, there is a day coming when all of God's people will come together, and we're told about it in Revelation chapter 5. And John the Apostle writes, "And after this I looked, and behold, there was a great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from every tribe and peoples and languages, standing before the Lamb of God, clothed in white robes and with palm branches in their hands." The Commonwealth Games is the friendly games with all the nations coming together. But you know, boys and girls, mums and dads, we're looking forward to a day when all of God's people, from every tribe and every country and every color, every race, will be able to come together because they know and love the Lord Jesus as their friend and as their Savior. In a few weeks' time, we'll have the opportunity to have a visit to the Bangor Worldwide Missionary Convention. And I know Niall is very much involved in the convention, an opportunity to hear about what God is doing all over the world, bringing men and women, boys and girls, to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And this summer, we've had a number of friends within the congregation who have been serving in lots of different places, telling of God's news. And the wonderful thing is that in all of those countries, God has his people trusting in him as Savior and as friend. And we hope that you will enjoy watching the Olympic Games, but you'll also remember that God wants to bring all of his people together as we trust in him. We're going to sing together, boys and girls, before you head out, and that is "Every Blade of Grass."
Every blade of grass,
every blade of grass,
every sunset sky,
every sunset sky,
every starry night,
every starry night,
every mountain high,
every mountain high,
every single thing,
every single thing
that your hands have made,
that your hands have made,
gives you glory,
gives you glory,
gives you praise,
gives you praise. And I want to praise you too, for no one is as wonderful as you.
Every bird that sings,
every shining sea,
every shining sea,
every blooming flower,
every blooming flower,
every towering tree,
every towering tree,
every single thing,
every single
that your hands have made
gives you glory
gives you praise
and I want to praise you too.
Let's join together in prayer. Let's all pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for this opportunity of coming together in prayer. We just thank you again for our boys and girls in church this morning. We thank you for the joy of families. And we pray, Lord, that you will watch over our family circles in these days, and particularly during these summer months, that we have time to spend time together. Just bless and encourage in all things. And indeed, Lord, as we look to the family life of our congregation, we think of the events that are coming forward in the coming days, and we pray that you will guard and guide. We think of our opportunity of meeting our neighbors and the plans and preparations that are in place for that. We pray that you'll guide and direct in all that is being done. We pray, too, for our Discover Kids Club, which will commence in September, and we ask there too, as plans and preparations are put in place, that you will guide and direct in all things. And indeed, for organizations that are being planned for the winter months, we ask that you'll be with leaders who have taken time to refresh themselves and encourage them, and just guide and direct them at this time. But Lord, we just pray that you will watch over us as your people, again remembering those who are laid aside in sickness, that you will afford to them the strength and help and healing that they need at this time. We pray for those who are going through difficult and challenging moments, that they would know your presence and your strength. And indeed, Lord, watch over our land and our communities in these days, that we would ever know your living presence, guarding, guiding, and directing in all things. We just pray, loving Father, that you would care for us as your people, as we trust in you, resting upon the promises that you have made for each of our lives. Lord, today we pray that you will be in the midst of us as together we worship and we praise your name. So we pray in the Savior's lovely name. Amen. We're going to read together from God's Word. If you have your Bible there, it's Psalm 25. Psalm 25, and we're reading from verse 1 of the chapter. And boys and girls are free to leave, but I've been told you can leave after the next hymn. But if you want to get up and go now, you can go. All right, reading from Psalm 25. Let's hear God's word. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come to those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive mine iniquities. though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in their ways that they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look at my afflictions and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. My integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. And we thank God for his word this morning. We're going to sing the praise, Ancient of Days.
Though the nations rage, kingdoms rise and fall, there is still one King reigning over all. So I will not fear, for this truth remains, that my God is the Ancient of days. None above him, none before him, all of time in his hands. For his throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in his name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. Though the dread of night overwhelms my soul, he is here with me. I am not alone. Oh, his love is sure, and he knows my name, for my God is the Ancient of Days. None above him, none before him, all of time in his hands. For his throne it shall remain and ever stand. Glory, I will trust in his name, for my God is the Ancient of Days. Though I may not see what the future brings, I will watch and wait for the Savior King. Then my joy complete, standing face to face in the presence of the Ancient of Days. None above him, none before him, all of time in his hands. For his throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in his name.
You know, when you go away for a while, it's always nice to come home. It's always nice to come back to somewhere where you see friendly faces and you know that you're made welcome. And it is good to be back this morning, at least for a little while, because it's a busy summer and has been and will continue to be. But you know, in about 2 weeks' time, I'm hoping to head off to London to Boys Brigade Camp. This year, I hope, will be my 50th Boys Brigade Camp. It hardly seems the years have passed from I attended my first one. And some of those early BB camps were spent in Scotland, in a little village on an island, Isle of Cumbria, in Millport. And David, you'll remember those as well. Up in Barber's Field, where you had to dig a pit for latrines and also to bury your rubbish. And if you happened to dig into somebody else's rubbish pit, well, you were in a bad way of going. But I remember visiting, I remember one early camp on the Isle of Cumbria in Millport, and attending the morning service, and you had to be in full dress uniform, complete with your pillbox, and it had to be white, and your buckle had to be built, had to be brassed up as well. And we marched down the hill to church. It wasn't so easy marching back up the hill, but going down in the morning, it was fine. But that particular Sunday morning, we had a Church of Scotland preacher. And he was overwhelmed by the fact that there was this big BB company arrived to what was normally about 10 or 11 people in church, and you'd all these sea of boys. But I have to say, he took it in his stride, and he told us that particular morning of what it would be like to be a boy being brought up within Jewish traditions, and how they were educated and encouraged to learn God's word. And some of the old rabbis had wonderful methods of getting their boys to read the scriptures and learn the scriptures. And one of the techniques was that every boy, before he was bar mitzvahed, had to find his verse in the Bible. And he went on to explain that you had to find your verse that began with the first letter of your name and ended with the last letter of your name. And all the letters of your name had to be found in order. Now, I have to say, it was the best exercise we had for the day at camp, because everybody was stuck in their tents trying to find their verse, and I think our captain actually promised a prize for the first one that appeared with their verse. Skills, learning the scriptures. Many of us remember having to learn our catechism. Who remembers having to learn the catechism? Stick up your hands, yes. Techniques. We don't learn our catechism today. We had to learn whole passages of scripture. Many of us had to learn Psalms. And I remember having to learn the Ten Commandments and have to rhyme them off to my Sunday school teacher. And they were good methods. But you know, as you read the scriptures, they themselves present some wonderful opportunities to make the word itself memorable. And one of those is Psalm 25. Because it tells us the story of David's experiences, some of the challenges and difficulties that he faced in life. And indeed, David's whole life was surrounded by trouble. Saul had tried to kill him some 16 times before he eventually became king. And even when David was crowned king of Israel, he continued to face opposition from within his own families and with the nations that surrounded him. Psalm 25 as a psalm is known as an acrostic psalm. And it's a psalm which every verse of the psalm begins with the letter, the sequenced letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Gimel, Dalek, Hey. I could tell you in a day when we did it at college, but all those letters have disappeared out of my mind today. But they began with the first letter in sequence of the Hebrew alphabet. But then there's a little quirk in the middle of the psalm where letters are reversed. Some commentators have said that reflects something of the life and the troubles that beset every single one of us. Not everything works out just as it should do. But David, in this psalm, is reflecting on life itself. Now, we're not told exactly when it was written. Some have suggested it was written following the rebellion of his son Absalom, but we're not told specifically. It's a psalm without without drama, if you like, or without emotion. It's not written with that sort of style. But it's written with maturity of faith. The suggestion is that David is much older when he writes this psalm, reflecting on all that has happened to him and his knowledge and his understanding of God. The way it's written was there to help read the psalm in order and understand, another of those learning techniques. But Psalm 25, I think, shows for all of us, as we turn to God's word, how we can prevail or survive life's trouble, which inevitably every single one of us will face, no matter what age or stage of life we are at. And I think within the psalm, there are at least three unfailing truths, never failing truths, that we can rest upon. And the first of these is found in verses 1 to 7, where we're reminded that God helps us in our time of need. When trouble comes into our lives, as it will eventually come, who do we turn to? Who do we go to for help? We as a country, and indeed the world, has been going through a period of great change and trouble, not least because we have faced a world pandemic because of COVID, but also because of the growing economic problems that our world is facing as a consequence of what's happening in Ukraine. And people are looking for help. Many are looking to the government, and we hear it constantly, looking to the government for better health care, to provide for us in so many ways and help us pay our bills, reduce expenditure, so that we can actually face the challenges that we're going through. And true, while government can make changes and help us face some of the difficulties that we're going through, can protect, even provide for us in a measure. But as a child of God, we're reminded, as David reminds us, that ultimately the Lord is the only one that can help us. He writes, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, it is in you I trust." David learned through his years, as growing up through his faith, that the ultimate source of his encouragement and help was God. One particular incident in David's life, but prior to his coronation as king, was a time when he was living apart from the nation and from family. He was living with his army in Philistia. When they had gone up to fight a battle against the Amalekites, we're told that David's city was raided by the Amalekites. And they took captive the army's wives and their children. And when David and his armies returned, everyone was in distress. Where are the children? Where are our families? And they were angry at David. "You took us up to battle and you've left our families defenseless." And the passage tells us that David was greatly distressed because the people spoke about stoning him, and because the people had become bitter in their souls because each had lost sons and daughters and wives. And one can understand their anger and their frustration. They were seeking to do the will of King David, who they believed the Lord was leading. And we're told that David, in all of that distress, in 1 Samuel 30 says, "And David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." We're told that David lifted up his soul to God. He put his trust in God. And as he trusted in God, God enabled him to lead his men back out against the Amalekites and restore to him were his families and his children that were lost. That's why in this psalm, David is able to say, "Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous." The word shame here, or ashamed in the Hebrew, is different from being embarrassed or feeling foolish. The idea is a unique biblical idea, is that of being let down or disappointed or having trusted in something that in the end proves unworthy of our trust. The New Living Translation translates this verse. He says, no one who trusts in you will be ever disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive you. David not only affirmed his trust in God, he also asked God to teach him his paths. In verses 4 and 5, he says, make known to me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. David pleaded with God to teach him. I wonder, do we plead with God to help us understand his truth? Do we want God to teach us his path so that we can walk in his way? So many of us have our own plans and desires and purposes for our lives. But God has plans and purposes for our lives. He tells that to the prophet. I have plans for you. Plans to prosper. Plans to direct and to guide you. How many of us are willing to seek God's will for our lives? God has given us his word, his holy word, which is his spoken revelation to us. And he challenges us to read it, to study it, to interrogate it, and to ask him again and again, what is your word for my life today? David asked God, pleaded with God, lead me in your way. David also wanted God's forgiveness for the sins of his youth. He had regrets about the sins he had committed early in his walk with God, and he wanted to be reassured of God's forgiveness. He says in verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. There's an old commentator called Harry Ironside. And Harry Ironside tells the story of a part of his ministry visiting a very old Christian. This man was now about 90 years of age, and he had lived a godly, fruitful life. However, in his last days, he had become increasingly depressed. And he said, everything seems so dark. Whatever you mean, Ironside said to the man, he said, in my illness since I've been lying here so weak, my memory keeps bringing up the sins of my youth. I cannot get them out of my mind. They keep crowding in upon me. I cannot help think of them. And they make me feel miserable and wretched. Who's at work in that situation? It's the devil, seeking to bring this poor man down, as he does in each of our lives. As we seek to know God's mind and will, the devil will flood in with thoughts, you are not worthy. You remember what you did. Remember where you came from. Ironside brought to this man verse 7 of the psalm. He says, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Ironside reminded the man of what it was like when he came to faith in Jesus Christ. How he had confessed that faith. How he had put his trust in Jesus Christ. He said, do you remember what had happened? The old man couldn't remember. Ironside said, don't you remember that when you confessed your sins, God said, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. If God has forgotten them, why should you think about them? Ironside records that the old man relaxed in his bed and he said, am I an old fool remembering what God has forgotten? Friends, this morning, Jesus has paid the penalty for our sin. And the joy of salvation is that God will never again hold it against us what we have confessed and committed into his hand. And whether our need is the trouble we are facing or learning of the past of God or remembering our past sin, Let us remember this truth. God helps us in our time of need. And the second thing that this psalm teaches us this morning is that God can be trusted. It seems that David now affirmed the character of God. We've been singing about that character this morning, that Ancient of Times, that faithful one. God can be trusted. That's why we pray. That's why we can pray with confidence. God can be trusted. Why can we trust in God? I think David lists at least four reasons in these verses why God can be trusted. There are many, many reasons that why God can be trusted. The first that he talks about, God can be trusted because he is good and upright. He is faithful to his nature. God can be trusted because all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. We trust in a God of love who loves us unconditionally, and he is faithful to his promises. And thirdly, God can be trusted because he will pardon our guilt, our sins. And fourthly, God can be trusted because the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. That's the last of the thoughts that I think we should focus on for these few moments. God can be trusted because the friendship of the Lord for those is in whom he trusts. The friendship of the Lord. What a joy to know the friendship of the Lord. David experienced that through his life. He has been many times described as the friend of God. But where does that friendship come? Well, it comes as a consequence of him having a fear of God. Now, we use that word in an English context, and it's a more emotional idea of being afraid, rather than the Hebrew idea of having reverential awe. Throughout the scriptures, we talk about the fear of the Lord gripping the nation. It wasn't a fear of his judgment. It was more a reverence of who God is. In other words, David came to revere the Lord because he came to a saving knowledge of God. He knew that God was the only one who could change and transform his life. The best picture I could present to you this morning of the fear of the Lord gripping a soul is of Isaiah 6. Where the prophet Isaiah was brought up into the temple of God, and for the very first time in his experience, he was granted a vision of the Lord, high and lifted up. He saw the God holy and mighty and majestic. He writes about the fact that his presence filled the whole temple. And his response was to cower into a corner because of the fear of the Lord. Why? Because he saw the holiness of God and he saw his wretched condition. And it was only when God made the move and sent the angel to touch his lips and to cleanse him that Isaiah truly trusted. David had a fear of the Lord. Yes, a holy fear of the Lord. He became a friend of God because he recognized that he was a sinner. He recognized that God alone was the one who could save him, and it was in God he trusted. And because he became a friend of God, we're told that God made known to David his covenant. What was that covenant? The covenant that one would come to bring salvation into the world, one greater than David. The covenant promise was that sinners would be brought into a right relationship with God. C.H. Spurgeon a commentator of a past generation, I think every young student in my day had to purchase a copy of C.H. Spurgeon's Treasury of David. It's a valuable yet old resource. He writes, "He who does not know the meaning of this verse will never learn it from a commentary. Let him look to the cross for the secret that lies there. We can only become friends with God through Jesus. Jesus is the only mediator between his Father and us. And as Paul said in Timothy, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. God can be trusted. Why? Because he sent his Son Jesus into the world to bring us back into relationship with him, to restore that which was broken by sin. God can be trusted. And then finally, David said, God delivers us when we take refuge in him. Knowing that he had taken refuge in God, David asked God to deliver him from some fearful enemies, from without the camp, and also from the emotions of his heart. And as we read through this psalm, we see how God delivered him from loneliness, from a troubled heart, from afflictions, from enemies, from troubles. But the key to understanding how God delivered him is found in verse 20. Here David's confidence in God is asserted. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in me. The Living Translation puts it this way: protect me, rescue my life from them, do not let me be disgraced, for in you I take refuge. In the life of David, we see how God delivered David on many, many occasions, because it was in God he trusted, and it was in God he took refuge. But we also read of many occasions when David rested in his own strength, and he failed to trust in the Lord, and he sinned, and he suffered as a consequence. Our refuge is in Jesus. Not many of us have had to deal with the Heidelberg Catechism. You'll say, thank you, it's bad enough, the Westminster Confession of Faith and the longer and the shorter catechism. But there's a lovely quote in the Heidelberg Catechism. It asks the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? The answer is this: that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied all my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil, and so preserved me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair from my head can fall, yea, that all things must work together for my salvation. Wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. So how can we survive the troubles of life that all of us at some point in life will face? Should it be sickness or loss? Should it be some difficulty within family life or within work? The challenge that David leaves us is that we are to trust in God. We are to take the helps that God has provided for us. That God can be trusted. He is the one that is unshakable and unchanging. And that God will deliver us. We are held eternally in his hand, and nothing that happens to us is outside his knowledge and his will. And he enables us to bear all things as we trust in him. And we are to take refuge in him, to flee into his arms. The writer Campbell Morgan says, what we do in a crisis always depends on whether we see the difficulties in the light of God or God in the shadow of the difficulties. What we do in the crisis always depends on whether we see the difficulties in the light of God or God in the shadows of the difficulties. Praise God that as the children of God, we walk in his light, and that his word is given as a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your servant David, who lived a life much like ourselves, with that roller coaster of experience, so often resting upon his own strength, and yet having to learn that he needed to trust in you, facing challenges and difficulties within his own family, with those that he loved, within his own health situation. But we thank you that he leaves behind for us a legacy of truth, lessons that he learned as he journeyed this world as your friend. He learned that lesson that salvation alone is found in you. He learned the lesson that you can be trusted. He learned the lesson that you alone are sufficient strength and help for every circumstance. He learned the lesson that he had to hide himself in the cleft of the rock and know that you were his refuge in the times of trouble. Lord, be with us as your people as we go forward in the week that lies ahead. Enable us, Lord, to trust in you and rest upon your promises. Help us, Lord, to take you at your word and not to run ahead of you, but to wait for you to guide us. Lord, as we bow before you, Lord, you know the circumstances of each of our lives. Some of us come with that burden of sin, but Lord, we thank you for the assurance that there's cleansing and forgiveness in you. Lord, some of us come with the burden of loss, and your word reminds us that you're acquainted with our grief and our sorrow. And it's you who says, come, find rest and peace in me. Lord, some of us come with worries concerning our health or the health of those around us. Lord, we just pray as we commit ourselves into your hands that you will work out your purposes and your plans, knowing that your ways are perfect for us and that we will see the light of God even in the dark places. Some of us, Lord, are seeking to make decisions about the future. Lord, we pray that you will shine your light upon those challenges that are before us, that we will ever seek your will for our lives. Lord, we pray that you will shape us and make us the people that you want us to be, so that our lives will truly tell for you in these days. So we pray in the precious and lovely and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing our closing praise, and it's King of Kings.
Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us today as we travel home, spend time with family and friends, and enjoy the blessings of this day. May your grace, your mercy, and peace be our portion today and forevermore. Amen.